Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from The Guardian, The Mirror, and OnThisDay.com. Question number one. Paul McCartney once said that which song of the Beach Boys was the best? Was it A, Good Vibrations, B, Surfin' USA, C, Help Me Rhonda, D, Wouldn't It Be Nice, or E, God Only Knows? Best song ever written? McCartney? Which one of those songs was it anyway? And question number two, speaking of beach-related music, what is the name of this hit song that was released on this very day back in 1963. So, is the title of that song Wipeout? Or is it B, Surfin' Bird? Or is it C, Surf City? Or D, Pipeline? A hit song about surfing released today in 63. What was its name, anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of June the 20th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1819, that composer Jacques Offenbach was born. He's remembered for his nearly 100 operettas of the 1850s to the 1870s and his uncompleted opera, The Tales of Hoffmann. Offenbach's B-Day, born today in 1819. And it was on this day, back in 1948, that Columbia Records began the first mass production of the 33 1/3 RPM LP. That was 77 years ago today. Finally, in transitions, we recently learned that Melanie, a friend from the neighborhood, has been grieving the recent loss of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Melanie's husband says that Wilson's music and the connection Melanie has with Brian's life story have eased her through the worst times of her recent cancer treatments. As presented in previous episodes of Music Review, music therapy is both popular and effective. Wilson's own struggles are occasionally exposed in his music. Here, for example, is a snippet from his song, I Wasn't Made for These Times. I guess I just wasn't made for these times. Oh, As a cathartic exercise, Melanie wrote the following short bio about Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson passed away on June the 11th at the age of 82. He was well known as the creative heart and soul behind the Beach Boys. As the group's leader, composer, arranger, and producer, he shaped their signature sound and led them to worldwide fame. Wilson was often called a musical genius. In the mid-1960s, he wanted to go beyond the simple, catchy songs about cars, surf, and girls that made the group popular. His masterpiece, the concept album titled Pet Sounds, introduced new ways of making music. Wilson used unusual instruments such as sleigh bells, bicycle horns, Coke bottles, and even a theremin to create fresh, beautiful sounds. He experimented with key changes, complex chords, and layered harmonies that had never been heard before in pop music. Despite initial reactions of skepticism, these new soundscapes ultimately were embraced by the musical world and significantly inspired many musicians and groups, including the Beatles. Behind his success, Wilson faced deep personal struggles that included mental health issues and substance abuse. These challenges led him to withdraw from the spotlight for many years, but they also gave his music a sense of honesty and vulnerability. His songs often blended joy with sadness, capturing both the beauty and pain of life. Paul McCartney recently described them as achingly special, simple, and brilliant at the same time. Perhaps Wilson's most ambitious project was Smile. Following the release of Pet Sounds, he dreamed of creating what he called a teenage symphony to God. But the album was left unfinished for decades for reasons that are complicated and not totally understood. Then, with the unwavering support of his wife, Melinda, he finally completed Smile in 2004, in the form of Brian Wilson Presents Smile. It was hailed as a groundbreaking work of art, showing just how far ahead of his time he truly was. Brian Wilson's life is one of innovation, courage, and deep feeling. He changed the way people listen to and make music, but his work continues to inspire fans and musicians around the world. But maybe his greatest gift is showing us that even the most beautiful harmonies can rise from the darkest struggles, leaving behind a unique sound that will resonate through the ages. And in classical music, with a local touch. Join us for the 2025 Chompy Presents Summer Chamber Music Series, Duke University. On June 20th, that's this weekend, works by Brahms and Schoenberg, presented by Eric Pritchard on violin. And next week, June 27th, works by Haydn and Brahms, presented by Jonathan Bagg, viola. Baldwin Auditorium, East Campus, Duke University. All concerts begin at 7 p.m. So go to tickets.duke.edu or phone 919-584-4444 for tickets and information. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Behind the Scenes, This is written by Matt Young and published in Quarter Notes. That's WCPE's magazine. Summer 2025 issue. Film scores shape your feelings during a movie, just as lighting shapes what you see. Yet, how they come to life can seem mysterious if you've never stepped inside a recording studio. This article aims to introduce you to the fascinating process of film scoring. Imagine it as a relay race with five key stages to pass the baton. The journey starts once the director has assembled a rough cut of the movie. First up is the spotting session, where the composer and director watch the film together, scene by scene. They decide exactly where music should start, how long it should continue, and when silence might actually be more powerful. To help communicate their ideas, they often use temporary music borrowed from other films. Next, the composer heads to their studio and transforms these notes into musical sketches. Sometimes they'll start as a piano, but usually they'll use digital audio software. With tight deadlines, these sketches are often created using pasted-together digital samples. These mock-ups allow directors and producers to debate musical detail before hiring live musicians. Even legendary composer John Williams, working well into his 90s on films like The Fablemans, now relies on digital mock-ups, as directors like Steven Spielberg can preview the music as early in the design process as possible. Once everyone agrees on the musical themes, orchestrators take over, expanding the composer's piano sketches into detailed scores for each instrument. This stage can involve creative decisions that deeply affect the film's emotional impact. For example, composer Ludwig Göransson asked orchestrators on Oppenheimer to keep violins in their highest registers, creating a tense feeling that mirrored the film's apocalyptic themes. The magic becomes tangible on recording day. In famous studios like London's Lyndhurst Studio or LA's Sony Stage, musicians record while watching the film on a giant screen. A click track, a precise metronome in the musician's headphones, keeps everyone in sync. And conductors also use visual cues called streamers and punches to mark exact moments in the film. Composer Hans Zimmer describes this process as painting inside a moving grid, highlighting how musicianship remains crucial even in such a modern field. The final step is mixing, where engineers blend the recorded music with dialogue and sound effects into formats like Dolby and IMAX, preparing the score for theaters and streaming platforms. Modern film scores that draw on classical traditions aren't lesser for their pop association. They're dynamic collaborations among directors, composers, and skilled artists. Understanding the process of how they come to be, spotting, sketching, orchestrating, recording, and mixing, won't diminish the movie magic. Instead, it helps you appreciate the craftsmanship behind those memorable moments that stick with us long after the lights come up.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
The Beach Boys' Good Vibrations introduces our rock and pop music news. These are Beach Boys backstories, some songs of note. As noted in songfacts.com, Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys' creative force and mastermind behind Good Vibrations, told Rolling Stone magazine what inspired this song. My mother used to tell me about vibrations. I didn't really understand too much of what she meant when I was a boy. It scared me. The word vibrations, to think that invisible feelings existed. She also told me about dogs that would bark at some people but wouldn't bark at others. And so it came to pass that we talked about good vibrations. Brian Wilson called this song a pocket symphony and experimented with it over the course of 17 recording sessions. At the time, it was the most expensive pop song ever recorded, costing $50,000 to make. Brian Wilson worked on Good Vibrations obsessively at the time. He stayed home and wrote music while the rest of the band toured. Wilson was just starting a very bizarre phase of his life where he would spend long periods in bed and work in a sandbox. During this period, many considered him a genius because of the groundbreaking songs and recording techniques that he came up with. Brian Wilson's The Last Song was written to be the centerpiece of 2015's No Peer Pressure, that's spelled P-I-E-R, by the way. Co-producer Joe Thomas recounted that the song was originally about love that was lost, but after the tour fell apart, it became more about a missed opportunity for Brian and the other Beach Boys to ride into the sunset together. Michael Hahn of The Guardian considered The Last Song as the best song on 2015's No Peer Pressure, stating that it sounds like Wilson is reflecting on his former group and acknowledging that his career is at an end over a wonderful arrangement and a desperately sad melody. Will Hermes of Rolling Stone magazine deemed the song as the album's old-school pinnacle, with Wilson's voice alone and shipwrecked, rising, above a bed of piano and strings, ghostly harmony vocals flickering around him. Stacy Anderson of Pitchfork Media said, "It's the autonomous note Wilson deserves to end on, a lovely bittersweet swath of the strings and gilded harmonies he perfected in his youth." Neil McCormick of The Telegraph assessed that though the album's other songs were not able to reach the quality of Wilson's great compositions from the past, the gorgeous album closer, The Last Stand, playing in the background now, is a reminder that Wilson set the bar particularly high. McCormick added that if this really is the last song, the Beach Boys can bow out with held head high. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, Paul McCartney once said that which song of the Beach Boys was the best? Was it A, Good Vibrations? No, but actually an article in The Guardian says that Good Vibrations may be their greatest single ever. In the new documentary, Long Promised Road, Don Was attempts to explain Brian's production techniques by playing his old multi-tracks. It doesn't work. I don't know how he did that, shrugs Was, baffled. Good Vibrations is testament to those inexplicable powers, an act of unprecedented audacity. It was spliced together from fragments recorded in four different studios, but it doesn't sound like an avant-garde experiment. It sounds like a breathtaking pop single, its endless shifts and changes coalescing into a perfectly formed, unbelievably thrilling whole. The greatest single ever? Maybe. The pinnacle of 60s pop invention and daring? Probably. The Beach Boys' crowning achievement? Absolutely. And then there's B, Surfing Safari, or just Surfing USA. No, but The Guardian says one of the fastest learners in pop, Brian described 1962's Surfing Safari as merely a rehearsal. A qualitative leap on the Chuck Berry-indebted Surfing USA, released a mere 5 months later, feels mind-blowing. It's tighter, smoother, shinier, more exciting, a song entirely of its moment, but so infectiously gleeful as to defy time. Then there's C, Help Me Rhonda. No, that's not the one either. But The Guardian says, for a man supposedly hopelessly square, his L.A. hipster friends tended to snigger behind his back at his terrible taste, Brian was a serious risk-taker. Help Me Rhonda's original version spends its final minute inexplicably fading in and out. Rhonda's original version spends that time. Even without that coda, the single version is great, the lyrical misery at odds with the melody. Well, then what about D? Wouldn't it be nice? Well, not quite. But The Guardian says that this 1966 hit, Pet Sounds Clarion Call, features Brian throwing everything at the wall. Tempo shifts, risky key changes, the first arrives 6 seconds in. Instruments rendered unrecognizable by his studio techniques, harmonies so beautiful and thick. They reduce Carl to tears in the studio and find in it all sticks an incredible song. How about E, God Only Knows? Yep, this is the one Paul liked the best. As noted by Scarlett O'Toole in The Mirror on 13 June 2025, Paul McCartney praised Brian Wilson's mysterious sense of musical genius that made his song so achingly special. In the 1990s, Paul said, God Only Knows is the greatest song ever written. In a 2007 interview on BBC One, Paul confessed that God Only Knows is one of the few songs that reduces me to tears every time I hear it. It's really just a love song, but it's brilliantly done. It shows the genius of Brian. And the answer to our second question, speaking of beach-related music, what is the name of that 1963 hit song that I played a snippet from as a hint? Although a lot of surfing songs were released in the early 1960s, including instrumentals by such groups as The Ventures, the one released today, which I played a snippet of, as a big hint, is Wipeout by the Safaris. Answer A. The song has been featured in over 20 films and television series since 1964, appearing at least once a decade. The title of the song is a colloquial surfing term of Southern California. Specifically, a wipeout is a fall from a surfboard, especially one that looks painful. In 2020, the version of the song by the Safaris was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. The band members wrote the song almost on the spot while at a recording studio in California in late 1962. They realized they needed a suitable B-side for the intended Surfer Joe single. One of the band members suggested opening the song with a cracking sound, imitating a breaking surfboard, followed by a manic voice babbling, ha, 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 wipe out. The band's manager supplied the voice on that recording. Turns out the A-side of the record, Surfer Joe, never did well, while Wipeout rose to number 2 in 1963 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. So, let's close out today's program with a song that Paul McCartney declared the best song ever written, God Only Knows, by the Beach Boys.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure. Tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time. And best wishes and thanks to Melanie for helping to put today's program together.